these types of reductions may or may not affect an individual, and they shouldn't make any decision without getting an individualized estimate. Keep in mind that most participants in SERS get the higher of the benefit calculated in multiple ways, and one of them is the traditional formula that takes your years of service and then multiplies that by 2.2% of your final salary. And if that's higher than the money purchase option, then these changes to the money purchase option have no effect on you. If, however, you get the higher benefit out of the money purchase option as calculated the old way, then there will be a reduction. A bit of this, I think, is frankly coming as a surprise because there was an intention in the legislation to ensure that we didn't create a retirement spike, which is now what it seems like we're in fear of happening. And I think part of it is that the legislation was written so that people couldn't do any worse than had they retired, you know, a year before this reform. But I just think that part of the legislation didn't get written up as tightly as people had hoped. But again, the most important thing to urge people here is to not to make any decisions based on simple illustrations and examples, because there are going to be some people not affected at all and others that could be affected.
Do you hear from other faculty?
I hear from faculty almost every day on this issue, and many of them are some of our most distinguished faculty who don't really want to retire, but they're worried that if they don't do it now, it's going to take them several years to essentially get back to where they would be if they retired today. I know that from talking to some of the elected officials in that short window between when this bill was introduced and when it was passed, one of the provisions they had in place was to provide this floor that would protect people to at least get the annuity that they would have gotten had they retired a year earlier. But again, there's some problems with how the legislation was written. And it's not surprising when you jam a bill through in 24 hours or 48 hours, there's just not time for people to really sit back and thoughtfully dissect the bill to make sure it does what you want. And it's really unfortunate.
And then the other factor is, of course, we don't know one of these five lawsuits or maybe if any others come forward and if they have an impact.
Uncertainty about the legal situation really makes a mess of an already bad situation. In an ideal world, the legislature would have postponed the start date of any changes for a long enough period of time that we could reserve some of the legal uncertainty, because you've really put some people in a difficult situation where, on the one hand, they're worried that if they don't retire now, they could lose substantially if they wait another year. On the other hand, they could retire now when they don't really want to, and then find out that the case gets overturned or the law gets overturned, and then they'll wish they hadn't. So we've really put a lot of some of our best people in a really, really tough situation here. My own reading of it is that it is unlikely that every single provision in this bill is going to withstand constitutional scrutiny. Having said that, I would actually be surprised if they threw the whole thing out. But, you know, I could be wrong. There are definitely different legal opinions on this. And there are some who believe that any change in benefits, of which there are many in this law, constitute an impairment. I actually think there are a number of these changes that would not constitute an impairment, but some would. And really, it's going to be up to the courts to have to parse through this, and that's going to take them a lot more time than we have before some of these folks have to make their decision.